is Smashville Live.
And the save made by Searles, and the Predators win it.
Welcome to Smashville Live
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Streaming live on Facebook Live, Twitch, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com.
Welcome into Smashville Live on this Wednesday night here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight's show, as always, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Max Herz here for the next hour, joined by Preds radio analyst Hal Gill. We got the two Matts on tonight, Hal. Matt Benning for the first half hour of the show. Then at 6:30, Matt Luff will join us after a crazy game and a crazy late winner last night.
How fun was that?
Unreal.
I mean, Bridgestone was rocking. A 0-0 game, it was tight, it was physical, it was tough to move out there, but I love the way the Preds responded. You know, you get that hit from behind on Forsberg and a little scuffle and 4-on-4, and it's like the breakaway save from Juice, and then all of a sudden the Preds just came alive. It was awesome. Huge win.
If you could pick a way to wake a team up, Hal, would it be to have the best player on your team get boarded right in the numbers, literally right in front of the bench?
I got to tell you, I don't know what is better. What was the turning point? And I want to ask these guys, like, was it that or was it the Juice save? The breakaway save on Raffle, he's going in and, you know, you're on the bench and, you know, one of you guys gets hit, you get a little angry and you go out there and you pick it up and then you get a huge save that gets you going too. So I think it's maybe a little bit of a combination. It'll be interesting to ask these guys and see what they think.
We will have Matt Benning with us shortly. Then Matt Luff with us at 6:30. Luff coming off his first 2-goal game as an NHL player on Saturday. You were out there for that one in San Jose, Hal. Was that one of the most lopsided games you've ever seen? 8-0 Preds.
You know what? There was some – Juice had to make a couple big saves. It wasn't as lopsided as the score showed, but I will tell you, that fourth line came out to play. McCarron, Tomasino, and Luff. Tough break for Luff. He played such a great game, and then Cousins comes back in the lineup. That's a tough league, man. You go out there and you score two big goals, and you're riding high, and then you have to sit and watch. But yeah, it like a great game those guys had. Just, you know, they kind of redefined their team identity, I think, in that game, which is really nice to see because they needed that. After Seattle, that was a kind of a stinker. And to follow it up with San Jose and then to get that huge win back home against, you know, a team in Dallas that you're fighting neck and neck with, I think that this team is on direction for big things.
And the number one name league-wide we've heard last week coming into the Stars game, Jason Robertson, back-to-back hat tricks. It was almost like he didn't play in that game yesterday.
You know what? I kept seeing it, like guys closing gaps on him. They were taking away, you know, it's cliche to say take away time and space from the good players, but he had nowhere to move. You know, he couldn't get his speed going. You know, everywhere he turned, there was a defenseman right up in his face. Another good question for these guys. That's a game plan that they executed really well, and it's not easy to do that against a team like Dallas. They didn't really give them too many chances. You know, it was a lot of right in your face kind of hockey.
Yeah, and I thought the Preds really could have come out of that first period with a goal or two. That was a period that Nashville controlled.
Yeah. Well, there's a one play from Granlund over to Cunning, a beautiful pass, and I think it was Lindell who jumps in and blocks that shot, an empty net, and the defenseman makes a save there. There's a lot of those little plays. It was kind of crazy how that game played out because it certainly didn't feel like a 0-0 game with the excitement that was going on.
Yeah, it was a really good game, and then we basically didn't have any stoppages the entire second period. Not a great period for the Preds, but definitely an intriguing one.
Just go. You know what, Dallas? I think Dallas had not a great first period. And the second period, they came back and they made it really tough. It was tough to get through the neutral zone. That's as close to playoff hockey as you'll get in the regular season. You know, just nowhere to move. As soon as you touch the puck, there's a guy on you. So, you know, I loved playing in those games. That was always fun, but it can be frustrating because you can't get much going. Now, offensively, if you're a guy that wants to go out and freewheel, those games are tough to play in.
Yeah, so the Preds won that game in regulation last night, 2-1 here against the Stars, to pull into the first wild card spot. They were behind the Stars by 1 point. They're now a point ahead of the Stars. And we've seen the Stars team
swing
a lot. Yeah. They're good. And that is the team that you're competing with for the last two playoff spots. Tells you a lot about this division right now.
Yeah, it's on. You got a big, huge weekend. Of course, Anaheim is not going to be an easy game. They're young and they got a ton of talent. So you got to watch out for them. But then you look past that, you got St. Louis and Minnesota. Those teams are humming along, and division opponents, you need to try to make ground, and this is a big weekend to do it.
Yeah, that Anaheim team coming off a blowout loss last night too, so I think they'll be pretty hot coming in here.
They might come in a little hot. That's good though. You know what? That's good. If you're playing on the Preds, you go, okay, you know, you're not overlooking that game because you just realized they got spanked. Now they're coming in. You got to be ready for it. So that gets your antennas up.
Yeah, it was an interesting night in the league last night because really, other than the Preds over the Stars and the Wild getting a win, which was a good win for them, they beat the Rangers. Most of the West playoff teams lost last night. The Avs lost to the Devils. And there were just a lot of upsets league-wide. The Knights lost to the Flyers, and somebody else lost too. The Blues lost to the Senators. So some surprising results, and the Preds had one of those last week against the Kraken, but they were able to win a game where they were home favorites in a huge four-point swing.
Yeah, that's the NHL for you. You think, hey, we'll count this as a win. It's not that easy. You know, Brent Peterson, his favorite line, right? They're a pretty good team too. They got uniforms and everything. You know, they're all NHL players, and it's tough to win in this league. And so if you take a night off and you think it's going to be an easy one, you're going to be sadly mistaken, and it can be embarrassing at times. So, you know, you talk about last night, a lot of embarrassing losses. You go to Ottawa, you're just expecting to go up there and win. And it's, you know, they're good teams out there. You got to watch them. Seattle, surprise the Preds. They played a really good game, by the way. I know it's, you say the Preds, you know, the lackluster effort, but Seattle played really well. They worked hard. Like, I haven't seen a team work that hard and give you a 7-game losing streak. And, you know, that's, if that doesn't, you know, no one likes to be embarrassed. So you knew they were going to come out and work, but they gave a great game to the Preds, and, you know, they deserve that win.
What do you make of some of the changes with the forward lines for the Preds over these last couple of games? Ryan Johansson going up to play with Duchesne and Forsberg, and Granlund going down to play with Luke Cunningham and Ellie Tolvanen in a line that I thought looked great last night, Hal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know what? It's funny because Granlund makes everyone around him better, and you're just trying to get Johansson going and playing with those guys. I think it gives him a little spark. He had a beautiful goal last night, so you know, I think that's just part of the nature of the beast. You got to mix things around every once in a while.
Max Herz and Hal Gill here on Smashville Live, and we're happy to welcome in Preds defenseman Matt Benning into the show tonight. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
What were your thoughts on last night's game and that crazy third period and finish?
Yeah, you know what? I thought we played a pretty solid game. I mean, in the locker room, we didn't really have any. When they scored that goal, it was kind of a, you know, a ping pong goal, hit off a few shin pads, and I think it's an important thing, especially on our team, that, you know, if there's no panic, we knew that we were playing the game the right way. We just got to, you know, continue to do the same things, and obviously Joey with a great goal to tie it up, and then we knew that, hey, we can go win this thing. We got momentum. We thought that kind of things were kind of slanting our way and continue to get pucks on net. I mean, you're playing, you know, two top goaltenders. There's not going to be a whole lot of goals. And, you know, two teams that are pushing for that playoff race. It was a fun game to be a part of. It was like a playoff game.
I felt like you guys must have been, you know, it's unfortunate, that goal, that first goal that they scored. And you guys had so many chances where the defenseman Lindell had the block on Cunningham when there's an empty net. There's all these things, and you know, easy for you guys to get discouraged. But I want to ask you, what turned it around? Was it a hit on Forsberg? It was a save from Juice that kind of got you guys going, because the crowd went nuts after that.
Yeah, you know what? I thought the crowd kind of all night was electric, and then obviously there was kind of a few events in the game that, you know, gets them on their feet and gets them going. So, I mean, I would say both. You know, Harps had a big hit kind of towards the end there, got the crowd going.
It was big.
You know, I think for a weekday game in Smashville, it was amazing. It was loud. Lots of people were there. And I think that the fans kind of know that that's the type of games that we play, especially with Dallas.
Matt, this is your second year with the Preds now. First full season, of course, after last year was shortened. What's it been like being a regular these last 2 years, playing a lot of third pair minutes and a lot of top four minutes as well?
Yeah, you know what? Like, the last few years have been crazy. You know, I mean, on normal years, you get an injury here, you get an injury there. You're usually kind of staying in the same spot. But over the past kind of 2 years, COVID, you get the insane amount of games in a short period of time. Guys not used to playing that amount. And I think too, in a shortened season, those games and those points are just that much more important. You don't have a chance to kind of get back maybe later in the season or in the middle of the season. So I think, you know, it's just the way things have been going. I've played with a lot of different D partners, D pairings. But I think for me, just keeping it simple, trying to do the things that make me effective and good, and not try to change things up. I'm not going to play like Roman, and that's a reality. So I think, you know, if I move up and play with a guy like him, to not try to do anything that I don't normally do.
I've been really impressed with your game and how you've been able to, because I know, and a lot of people don't understand this, if you're playing against a fourth line or a third line, they're putting pucks behind you and coming at you. They're trying to run you. And then you're playing against first or second liners, and you played a ton against those guys this year with the injuries and COVID and everything going on. You have to change your game. You know, those guys are trying to dangle you. They're trying to make plays on you. So I've been impressed with how well-rounded your game has been. Do you feel like this year you've kind of – how have you balanced that? Because that's not easy to go back and forth between jumping up and playing against skilled guys, and then some guys are just going to try to throw it behind you and run you through the boards.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point too. And I think a lot of people, like you said, don't really realize that. And I mean, when you're playing against the top two lines, most of the time they're not as physical as the third and fourth line. So, you know, you're looking for you know, you might be able to hold in the puck an extra second long because you know that guy's not going to hit you. He might be cheating for a play sort of thing. So I think kind of my mindset going into the top two lines is, you know what, make sure, I know I'm strong enough to kind of have a guy on my back or a guy on my shoulder that I can make a play, just making sure it's the right play. Because a lot of the times they're cheating or they're anticipating your pass. And that's when you get in trouble, when you make turnovers and then they come, and that's exactly what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, the third, fourth line guys, it's not saying that they don't have skill, but they're in a position, maybe a smaller leash, that they need to get those pucks in and they need to kind of create the energy and momentum by, you know, chipping in our corner trying to make us make the turnover. So, you know, it's one of those things. I think you kind of just grow with it over time and experience. But, you know, this year I've been fortunate and playing in a lot of different positions.
I feel like it's the team has been different, where you guys are sticking up for each other a lot more tougher than we've seen the Preds in the past. And that's got to feel a lot better. When you talk about those certain fourth line guys trying to run you over, it's nice having, you know, that team toughness where you have, you know, you have Harps next to you, or you have Burrow out there, or, you know, you have guys in the lineup that guys are going to think twice before they try to run you. Do you feel like that's a big part of your game right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems like, you know, I mean, Ekki last night, for example, Phil got run and he was ready to go against a guy that's a tough player. So I think it's just kind of the mindset of our team. We're an aggressive team. We're very physical, and that's kind of the style we like to play. And I mean, you see guys ready to step up like Cunny the other night, and you know, just guys who are competitive in nature, even if they're not fighters, for example, they're right. You know, just competitive, and those things are going to happen.
We're talking with Matt Benning, Preds defenseman, here on Smashville Live. And Matt, you and Mark Borowiecki signed with the team within a week of each other last offseason, heading into the abbreviated 2021 season. The big goal of those two signings was to really up the caliber of this third pair for the Preds. How was that articulated to you guys, and how do you feel like it's worked out?
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Boro, and I mean, kind of whoever's in that third pair role, it's been all over the map this year. I mean, I think we take pride in that role. And I think that's, you know, partly attributed to our coaches. They put us in positions where I think we thrive. And I think, I mean, for me and Boro personally, we knew what our jobs were coming in, and maybe more veteran guys and knowing our role and accepting that role. And like I said, yeah, we take ton of pride in that, whether it's, you know, playing less minutes and letting Roman and Ekki and those sort of guys do their thing. It's on our end, it's fun, and it helps you, helps your mojo, kind of helps you stay in it. I think for us, it's definitely been an important thing, and you know, being on previous teams that maybe don't value that role kind of as much, it's definitely appreciated.
We're talking with Matt Benning, Preds defenseman, here on Smashville Live. Tonight's show presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We'll take a break, come back, talk with Matt about his hockey family, his hockey upbringing, and his young family here in Nashville. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herz and Hal Gill with you tonight, talking Preds for the 6 o'clock hour. Tonight's show is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We got Matt Luff coming up at 6:30. Right now we are back with Preds defenseman. In his second year with the team, Matt Benning is with us. Matt, let's talk about your hockey family. And it is going to take too long if I try to name everybody, but your dad, Brian, your uncles, both your siblings all have hockey backgrounds, playing, management, coaching, scouting type backgrounds. Where do you feel like that's helped you the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think kind of starting off as a young kid playing hockey, kind of trying to find my game, it was mainly my dad and my grandpa that were giving me, you know, hockey tips. And at the time, a lot of the hockey tips they gave me, I didn't want to listen to. I think it's just part of being that age and being stubborn. I think all, you know, kids and parents go through that age of the younger kids not listening to you. But you know, as I got older, I appreciated a lot more, and they kind of developed me and helped me become who I am today. And yeah, I mean, you could say the same thing for my sister. She had a very successful hockey career, played University of Alberta, won a championship there. And then, you know, my brother, he's well on his way and doing well in college hockey. So, you know, there's always somebody to lean on in the family, whether it was my dad, my grandpa, or my uncles, and lots of hockey knowledge. So it was family reunions were more of hockey reunions. It was just talking about hockey 24/7. I feel bad for my wife who didn't grow up playing hockey, but you know what? It's all good, and I mean, we all appreciate it and recognize it now.
And perhaps the best known of the crew is your uncle Jim, who was the GM of the Canucks for a long time. But before that, he was the Bruins' assistant GM when they drafted you. Was he the one who told you that you were getting picked?
You know what? Before the draft, I reached out to him because I was kind of I think they classify A, B, and C kind of going into the draft. And I was kind of always flirting with like a C grade, meaning like I could be drafted, I might not be drafted. And I told him, like, you know, like if I don't know if you guys are going to draft me or even thought about it, I just, you know, I don't want you guys just wasting a pick just because it's me. I want to, you know, earn it and that sort of thing. And funny story is at the time I was studying for my grade 12 final exam at the end of the year. You know what, actually with my wife, she's my girlfriend at the time. And all of a sudden I got a call from a Bruins reporter and told me I was drafted, and I had no idea. I was really surprised, and I didn't even talk to my uncle until, you know, a few hours after the draft. And yeah, it was pretty cool and that sort of thing. But, you know, kind of at that time, his role shifted from, okay, he is my uncle. He's still my uncle, but I kind of see him as like assistant GM now. So it was a different mindset definitely after that.
When you did get drafted, you end up going to Northeastern. How did that decision come into play? That was after, was that, were you dubbed to go to Northeastern before you were drafted, or was that after?
That was after. So I was drafted out of the Alberta Junior Hockey League. And then Pete Chiarelli, who was the GM in Boston at the time, he was part owner of a USHL team. So that was kind of the, so I went from the Alberta Junior League to a USHL team, Dubuque Fighting Saints. And then I got my scholarship out of Dubuque, which, I mean, it worked out. They didn't put any pressure on me to kind of come to Boston because it's near them. They wanted me to go to a school where I could develop, and I mean, Northeastern was a perfect spot for me to develop and kind of find my game and do what I needed to do, and got tons of opportunities and met a lot of great people.
Talking with Preds defenseman Matt Benning here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You finished your degree from Northeastern during COVID. What did it mean to you to finish that up and get your degree in business management?
Yeah, I mean, that was super special, not only, I mean, to me, but my parents. Like, they, a big part of me going to school, I had no idea that I was going to have a shot to play in the NHL. And a big part of me going to school was hockey, but mostly was for school. So to get that opportunity to finish was massive. And I think when I left school, I had 4 or 5 classes left, and 3 of them I could do online, which worked out. But then the last 2, they were like, hey, you gotta come back on campus in the summertime to finish them. And I was like, well, geez, like, when am I ever going to be able to go back? I don't, as a hockey player, you don't know when your season's going to end. I mean, hopefully, like, you want to be in the playoffs, you want to go far, but you got to be planning months and months in advance or beforehand to go to school. So COVID hit, I had a baby coming, my son, and coach calls me and he says, hey, Benny, both your classes, you can take them at the same time. They're 2 weeks long each. And I was like, whoa, that's going to be crazy. He's like, you got to get this done. I was like, yeah, sign me up. So at the time we weren't doing anything. It was COVID. It was right when COVID hit, and finished my classes. And then probably about 2 to 3 weeks later, we were in the bubble in Edmonton. So it worked out perfectly.
You mentioned your son, Miles, who was born in 2020, is now 18 months old, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but yeah. You and your wife, Janelle, are expecting another boy later this year now. What's it been like starting and raising your young family here in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, Nashville's, when we first came to Nashville, obviously, I mean, just as an outsider, you know, like country music and that sort of thing. But when we got here, we immediately kind of picked up that it's such a family oriented place and community that we loved. And it's been such a great spot for me, my wife, and my son Miles. And I mean, it helps that I think there's probably 25 or 30 kids, young kids on our team now. So I mean, we get together with a couple of teammates, and kids get to play with each other. They get to see each other at the hockey games, and which makes it a lot easier on the players and the wives and the kids too. So it's been amazing. It's, I mean, the weather, you can't beat the weather here. And you know, just so many kids programs and things for the kids to do. They do such a good job, whether it's the zoo or like there was a at the, there was some sort of Osprey like winter festival that had tube rides and outdoor skating and kind of shows, and it was amazing. So I mean, we love it here.
That's great. And how much Miles chiming in the background right now too.
Yeah, he's in the back there slamming the hockey stick on the ground for sure.
Attaboy.
I always loved, you know, I had kids like later on in my career, and I didn't realize how great it is. You can really get away from the game when you have a kid that just wants to play with you. How nice is that? Just to come home and you go from hockey player to dad pretty quick, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's as you know, there's times in the season that's just kind of a roller coaster ride. Like, your emotions are high, your emotions are low. You might not be playing well, and then, you know, like you said, you come home and you see a smile, and he calls you daddy, and I mean, life changes, right? It's definitely special. I mean, some of my teammates just have dogs, and it's kind of the same experience, or not the same, similar as a dog. You come home, the dog's happy, jumping all over you, and it's very similar.
Unconditional love. Absolutely.
So it's special.
Last question for Matt Benning here on a completely different note. We are told you were the one who first called Michael McCarron Big Sexy. Is that true, and where did it come from?
I think I was the first one to call him Big Sexy, and I don't know, you know, it was we just have our handshakes before the game, and he's obviously a big dude, and I mean, everyone before kind of called him Big Mac, and I don't know if he liked the Big Mac, you know, it's McDonald's burger, so I was just like like Big Sexy, you know, he's always smiling, so I think it's caught on. I saw a few Big Sexy signs in the crowd last night,
and there were like 20 at warm-ups, right?
Yeah, I think that's that's a nickname that's caught on.
All right, we want to make sure you get credit for that. Perfect. So well earned. All right, Matt Benning, so great having you on the show. Great talking to you, and enjoy the rest of this big week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll take a break. Thanks, come back with the other half of the Double Matt Show tonight. Matt Luff, Preds Forward, will join us next. This is Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz, Hal Gill with us co-hosting tonight. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling every Wednesday night at 6. Just had Matt Benning for the first half hour, and now we are happy to welcome in Preds forward Matt Luff. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Coming off your first NHL multi-goal game on Saturday night out in San Jose, your line went crazy. What a night for the fourth line. Now that we're 4 days out from it, what do you think is going to stick with you from that game?
Probably just all of it. I mean, it's just a good bounce back game, I think, personally and team-wise. I mean, I wasn't too happy with the outcome in Seattle personally, and I just knew going into San Jose there, I had to have a good bounce back game. And, I mean, Macker and Tomer were buzzing, and I think it just makes it easier to play like that. And, you know, obviously playing in California for many years, it's just a comfortable arena. I've been in there so many times. So I think it was just, you know, kind of stick to my game, get to the net, and luckily a couple went in off of me there. And, you know, the most important thing is we found our game, got huge 2 points, and brought it back to last night.
I feel like when the Preds are looking to get things going right, it usually starts with a forecheck, and it usually starts with either that third line or your line or the fourth line going out there and setting it up. You played up with Sissons and Trennan, and I feel like, do you feel like, hey, if we want to win this game, we're going to have to go out and play our game? Because it's a little different. Usually you're looking to your top guns to go out there and score goals, but I feel like the Preds have a different mindset where it's like, if we want to win this game, we got to get our forecheck going, and we're looking at you to do it.
Yeah, I think you just look at our top lines. I mean, they're all having such unbelievable years, and I think it's just helps us out so much. But then you look at that third line, the Hurd line, I mean, they could be one of the best lines in hockey. I think, you know, with the speed, the physicality, the skill set they have is unbelievable. I think you could probably look at most games and be like, that's the best line that was on the ice. I think they just bring so much to the table. And as a fourth line, like, I think it's just one of those where you just kind of just got to bring the energy. And, you know, at the end of the night, like, if you can just go in on a good forecheck, lay stick on puck, and just lay the body, like, by the end of the night, that D is not going to want any of that. And I think you can see that guy start kind of turn away, and it makes it a little harder. Like you'd forecheck, like we talked about forecheck with your stick in the air, like that's just an easy bump. But when you have your stick on puck and you still go through him, like it makes that night so much harder on the guy. And I think as a fourth line, we just want to bring that energy, and whether we score or not, if we can hand off a good shift to whatever lines come up next, I think it's awesome.
It's been so interesting to see Phil Tomasino, who's really a skill player, in on that fourth line in his first NHL season. What makes that work? And maybe in 5-10 years from now, are you going to look back and laugh at the fact that Phil Tomasino was on a fourth line?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it comes with age and everything. I mean, you've seen it. He's been around the whole season. He's been up and down in the different lines, and you can just see he's able to play in any scenario. I think that just shows what kind of kid he is. I mean, he's open to doing anything. And at the end of the day, I think it just balances out his skill set and just opens up that toolbox that he has so well. And I think when he gets going, I think he has that confidence. Like you see the plays he makes behind the net, whether it's like on the top line or our line. I mean, he just brings so much to the table. And I think 5-10 years, I don't think he's going to have to worry about playing those fourth line minutes. I think he'll be around the 20 mark. So I think it's just good for him. I think at the end of the day, he's playing, he's learned different roles, and it's just putting more feathers in his cap.
All right, if we're going to talk about skill set, you got to take us through that pass to McCarron. We talked to him after on the radio show, and he was like, "That was just a gift. I just had to stand there." But take us through that play, because that was dirty. I like, a lot of people don't realize how nasty that play. You froze the forward, and then you got Brent Burns, one of the best defensemen, to freeze him and then make that play. Is that something that you're always looking to do, or is that just kind of you just saw the play and made it happen?
I think it just goes like we've done in practice with kind of their fab shot, and it's kind of a soft rim there to the other side, and usually when the D goes down, F3 fills in there, so that's kind of what we've done in practice. So I kind of just – it was kind of just one of those plays where I just knew where to go, and then – our pre-scout noticed that there were a lot of knee down blocking teams. So I kind of thought I could sell a shot there. And once I got him down, I kind of knew I had a little more space to the left of me, moved there. And then Macker just got to the paint there, like we try and do, and just, you know, it just worked out. So, I mean, I'll take it. A lot of my buddies were pumped. So, I mean, it's probably one of the nicer assists I'll have.
I hated forwards that think. That's the worst. That's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, we just do such a good thing with like video. I think takes the thinking part out of it, which helps me a lot. But I mean, it goes down to like all those guys that just watch the film endless hours. I think just knowing that was a huge thing, because I mean, I think if I don't know that, I might just try and lay it in there with that net front going on.
Yeah.
Preds forward Matt Luff is our guest here on Smashville Live. And Matt, you scored your first goal as a Pred on January 6th. Couple months ago against your former team in their building against the Kings. How sweet was that?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my parents afterwards. I would have said if I could play any game in the whole season, it would have been that one. And I mean, to win was probably the best feeling, but also to get that goal and make it the game winner was pretty cool. But the best part was I had I got a signed stick by Quickie and a couple of the other guys. So I text him after the game saying thanks for the stick. And he goes, usually when a guy gives you a stick, like you don't score on him. So his birthday is a couple of weeks later. So I text him, I was like, hey, happy birthday. And he just responded, he goes, still I'm at you. So it's pretty good. But I mean, I think that probably will stick with me for a while. And it's probably still like one of my favorite memories.
Jonathan Quick. What a beaut. Your first six games for the Preds this year were on the road, and you've played in more than two-thirds road games out of the 15 games you've played. Has that kind of become something you've noticed? Like, you just keep playing every time you guys go away?
I wouldn't say I noticed it, but I think it's just like one of those where it just happens. I mean, I'll take games where I can get them, but I mean, yeah, I think I've only played like maybe three or four in Bridgestone. So, but I mean, those games at Bridgestone are awesome. I mean, the fans are great, but I'm a little bit of a warrior on the road there, some might say, but I mean, I don't mind it. Kind of just go in the other barn and just do your thing.
When you're going through, and I've gone through this where you're trying to make your stamp on, you're an NHL player, you're doing everything right and you played well. Is it tough to, you know, Cousins comes back, he slides into the lineup. Is it tough to manage that? Because I know for me, it's like, okay, I got things going here And I know the coaches love the way you play and everything you do. How hard is it to manage that where you're coming out of the lineup, especially when you've been playing, you're coming off a great game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously sucks at the end of the day taking a lineup, but at the end of the day, I mean, we're in this type of season, we're in the home stretch where it's about making playoffs. And I mean, Tuzzy's a great player, and I think he's been a key part of this team. And, you know, he's back from injury, and I think any team would put him in there. And, you know, it's just about opportunity. I'll sit there and wait for my opportunity. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I don't want to be a guy that just salts around the room. Like, I'm in there, I'm pumped. Like, that's a great win last night. Like, I was juiced. So, I mean, just kind of know that don't let it affect your confidence. Like, it wasn't something really I did. It was just, you know, at the end of the day, it's numbers. And, I mean, any guy that understands that when you're the odd guy out, like, when you get your chance, like, you just got to show you belong there. And maybe someone else comes out next time. But right now, it's just me. But just go in, just keep working hard, and just know when I get my chance, just, you know what, keep on doing what I'm doing and just keep doing what the coach is like.
Talking to Preds forward Matt Luff here on Smashville Live. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Matt's journey, not only through juniors into the NHL, but how he ended up with the Preds in his first season with the team. Been fun to see him on the ice, 15 games so far this year, including that big one on Saturday night when he had 2 goals and assist, plus 4 in 10 minutes of ice time. Pretty well done in an 8-0 win. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We'll be back with more from Matt Luff after this on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight's show, as always, every Wednesday night at 6, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling here on 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz, Hal Gill alongside. Back with Preds first-year forward, Matt Luff, 24-year-old from Oakville, Ontario, near Toronto. Matt, let's talk about your hockey journey. It's kind of been a prove-it-every-step-of-the-way hockey career for you. You played an extra year of midget before you went to juniors. You weren't drafted out of juniors, ended up signing an entry-level contract with the Kings. Then since then, a couple more one-year deals, first with the Kings and now with the Preds. In summation, what has all of that been like every step of that journey?
It's been pretty crazy. I mean, like playing that year of junior, or that actually year of midget before my first year of junior, I think kind of made me realize how important it was to like take things seriously. I think minor midget, my team was so good. Like you could just walk through it, and playing that extra year, like I had a really good year, then going to the O, just knowing, and then not getting drafted really like, I think at the end of the day, any kid, that's what their dream is, to get drafted. And that stung. So, I mean, went to LA a year later and just kind of walked in there knowing I had to prove something, because, I mean, I wasn't a guy that was drafted there. I had to make a statement. But, I mean, then I wouldn't really trade it in for anything. I think you need to face some adversity in your lifetime. So I think when you get there, it's awesome.
Well, growing up, were you a Leafs fan? I assume?
No, all my family's from Montreal, so I'm a Habs fan.
Ooh.
Tabernacle. All right. but you know, being from Toronto and obviously Montreal, the same thing. Like, you know how big it is to get to the NHL, how hard that is to do. So for you to come in under the radar and prove it, like, how great was it just to be considered an NHL player and the road you've gone on, your friends back home and, you know, family from Montreal, like it means a little bit more, I think, to guys from Ontario, from Quebec. I feel like maybe it means a little more. Am I right?
Yeah, I'd say it probably means a little more, because I think you grow up and you just, like, from a kid, it's like hockey's the game. And like you watch the Leafs or the Habs every Saturday night, it's Hockey Night in Canada. And you just, wherever you go, take a right turn on a street, you got a hockey rink there. So it's just there. So I think when you finally make it, and like, I remember that day where I got the phone call and like, I called my parents and it was just like an oh my God moment. Cause it's like, you never expect it to happen. Like I was 21 and I was like, wow, like playing my first NHL game. And I think, it's kind of weird, like LA, you're not really known, but I'll walk around Toronto, like I'm really a no one. Like I'm sometimes HL, sometimes NHL. Like people just be like, oh, like you're Matt Luff. And it's like, and it's like here, but like I walked around LA with like Doughty or and like Quick. And like, sometimes I get recognized, but like you go for dinner, sit outside, like no one, but like Toronto, like I got buddies that play like AHL there, NHL there, and it's just like you try and go for dinner and you're like, oh, okay, like, this is insane. So I mean, so yeah, so obviously it's a little bigger, I think, over there, and obviously I think it meant a little more because you just see like the numbers of players that play in Ontario or Canada itself is kind of like insane.
This past offseason, Matt, you had just turned 24, knew it was probably time for a change out of the Kings, going to a new organization for the first time. What were you hoping for, regardless of what team it was? What type of fit did you think you would be on a potential two-way contract?
I just wanted to, mix up. I mean, LA obviously gave me my start, but listen, we had to go our different ways. Like, unless you're, I feel like, a Drew Doughty or a Kopitar, like, you're going to see different teams. Like, you look at Dutchie, like, someone who's so good, so talented, like, has seen different teams. So, I mean, part of the process, but I think just coming in, it's just picking a team. It was, like, one of the teams I thought that, you know, it would give me a chance that kind of just talked to me about my game, and I just knew that, like, it seemed like a great fit. And coming over here, like, I had great talks with whether it's Poy or Heinze. I mean, they showed me kind of what they expected from me, and, you know, at camp, it didn't go that way, but I mean, I went down there, the communication stayed, and I kind of just kept going in the right direction, and you know, it's landed me here. And so, I mean, just I think it's been an unreal fit, and it's somewhere I'm really happy being.
When you were down in Milwaukee, I know in talking to John Hines, we talked about it, he brought your name up several times, you know, that we're just waiting to bring up Luffer. We know he's coming. We're trying to find the right spot. So, take us through Milwaukee and what it was like down there. And I feel like they got a good thing going where there's a good communication between the big club and Milwaukee, you know, like they're on the same page. And so, you know, even though you're down there, you're still on the radar. They knew you were going to be ready to come up when they needed you. And you've come up and it feels like there's a natural transition. Am I right?
Yeah, I think what Nashville, Milwaukee have, like, kind of as an organization is great. I think with Carl and everybody down there for the coaching staff, like, I think they have great communication with probably everybody up here and just what they want out of guys. So, I mean, we run basically the same system. So, like, when you come up or down, like, you're not learning something new. Like, you don't have to think, which I think is key as a guy get into the lineup. I think, like, if you can just go up there and it's kind of just already, like, printed in your brain, like, where to be, like, in different situations. It helps. And then just it's kind of just rounding out my game. I think, you know, what went down there, and whether it was Carl or like Greg or Fordo, like, it was just making sure like I was finishing checks or getting to the net or just doing my thing. And I think you look now, it's my best year in the AHL I've had, and I only played half a year. So I mean, it was one of those where, you know, I went down, just did my thing, and I got obviously great help from those coaches down there, and it obviously led me back up here.
And you talked about that, how tight-knit group this group is. You came out, and I love that quote because, you know, you look around the NHL, there's some teams with cliques and there's a lot going on. This team with the Preds is pretty tight, and it's got to be fun to be around that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that quote, I'm still in the Milwaukee group, gave me some heat because I didn't include them, but put them in there. Like, they got a great group down there from those leaders, so... but no, yeah, up here, of course, I think, that leadership's unreal. I think, no matter what guy you ask me about, it's just like, they're just great. I mean, I talk to like anybody and they'll be like, how's this person? And I'm like, he's awesome. I'm like, so I think you just look at our group and who we have, it's just like, we just gel so well and everybody just wants to win. And I think that's what it takes. And when times are tough, we aren't just sitting there like shouting cross corner at one another, like saying like, what are you doing? What's this guy doing? Like, guys are looking at themselves and like, hey, like, boys, I'll be better, then I'll be better. And I think like great examples, like Joey was a little cold in the room yesterday. We didn't skate. He was just sitting there. He goes, I got one tonight. Like, I'm snapping it. And who's the guy that ties up the game? Like, Joey, like, key goal in a key moment. And like, that's the guy that steps up all the time. And he's one of those guys, I think you can ask anybody in the league. He's an awesome guy and he's a huge team guy at the end of the day.
That's awesome. We're talking to Preds forward Matt Luff here on Smashville Live. And we talked about your junior tenure. Your junior team moved because of some AHL movement. You were with Belleville and then with Hamilton. We got the outdoor game in Hamilton this Sunday, Sabres and Leafs. You going to try and sneak a little bit of that one on TV before our game at night?
Yeah, I'll probably try and tune into that. I mean, Hamilton was a huge part of my life. I think Mr. Ann Lauer and Steve Staios, and I mean, the gang over there was so great to me, and they treated me like a pro player, and they kind of showed me what it was like. So I think the city deserves that kind of game. And I know I'm pumped for the guys that are playing in there. And yeah, I'll probably tune into some of that because, I mean, it'd be pretty cool.
Last question for you, Matt. We've seen the Luff Pups on Instagram. Are these your parents' dogs? They live with your parents, right? They're not here.
Yeah. Yeah, Meatball I bought on my first NHL contract. And Gibson, we kind of just adopted a couple years ago. But we have a third or a second English Bulldog come into the family this year. So we'll have a new addition coming into the summer. So, yeah, my sister's moving out. So my family's my mom wants a third dog, I guess, keep her active. So I'm on the hunt for that first. So I'm sure my dad's excited for that one.
Well, the pictures of you and Meatball, the Bulldog, swimming just absolutely kill me. So Meatball, yeah. Meatball's my favorite until round three.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't really like the water, so he sees that orange vest come out, and he's under anything he can hide under. So takes a couple of treats, but we just gotta give him the yearly swim to the stairs talk in case he ever does fall in. So just get him going.
That's incredible. Matt Luff has been our guest for the second half of the show. First year pred, Matt, so great to talk to you, and we'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on.
Hal, thanks for doing this. Always a ton of fun.
Appreciate you, man. That was fun.
Jared Cassidy has been our producer. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. That's all for tonight. Penalty Box Radio is next.